Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Thyrocare Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by Thyrocare Technologies Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Preet Joshi from Thyrocare. Thank you, and over to you, Preet.
Thank you, Danish. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Preet Joshi from the strategy team at Thyrocare. It is a pleasure to welcome you all to our Q1 FY27 earnings call. Joining me on the call today are Mr. Rahul Guha, our MD and CEO, Mr. Rajdip Panwar, our Chief Commercial Officer, Dr. Ramesh Guenna, our Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Vikram Gupta, our Chief Financial Officer. I hope you've gone through the results release, the quarterly earnings presentation, and the press release, which has now been uploaded on the stock exchange website. The transcript of this call will be available in a week's time on the company's website. Please note that today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in relation to the risk pertaining to our business. After the end of this call, in case you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to the investor relations team. I now hand over the call to Mr. Rahul Guha to make the opening remarks. Over to you, Rahul.
Thank you, Preet. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. As in all my calls, I will begin with a quote from Nelson Mandela in recognition of our foray into Africa. "It is in your hands to make a better world for all who live in it." We believe Thyrocare has the opportunity to take its proven business model to Africa and make affordable, high-quality diagnostics accessible to many more patients. Before I get into the quarterly highlights, I would like to briefly step back and share how we continue to view the diagnostics industry and our own journey. Diagnostics today is no longer just a back-end support function. It has become central to clinical decision-making and increasingly to preventive healthcare. A 600 rupee lipid profile can prevent a heart attack, which would cost lakhs to treat. Patients today expect convenience, speed, and reliability as a baseline, while healthcare providers seek trusted partners capable of delivering consistent quality at scale. This evolution aligns closely with Thyrocare's mission of making preventive healthcare affordable, accessible, and dependable for everyone. As healthcare continues to evolve, we believe technology will play an increasingly important role in diagnostics. At Thyrocare, we continue to strengthen our digital capabilities across the diagnostic value chain, from patient booking, logistics, laboratory operations, and reporting. These investments are improving operational efficiency today while creating a strong foundation for future AI-led capabilities in preventive healthcare. I'm pleased to share that the quarter brought some meaningful external recognition of this work. We received India's Most Trusted Customer-Focused Diagnostic Brand 2026 Award at the Pride of Healthcare Excellence Awards and Summit 2026 in Hyderabad. We were also recognized at the Financial Express Healthcare Awards 2026, where we won Diagnostic Chain of the Year and Pathology Lab Chain of the Year. These reflections reflect the dedication of our teams and the trust our customers and partners continue to place in us. It has been 5 years since API Holdings has taken over Thyrocare from Dr. A. Velumani in July 2021. I wanted to take a moment to share with you the journey over the last 5 years, of which I have had the privilege of working with this amazing team. Between FY18 and FY20, our pathology business revenue, excluding COVID, was growing at a CAGR of less than 10%, and volume growth too was in the same range. And of course, during FY21, our pathology business, excluding COVID, hit an all-time low of 304. a degrowth of 20% versus the previous year. During the same period, our franchisee base had declined from 4,500 to 2,700 active franchisees during this period. It has been a tremendous effort to build up the business from that base. And I'm proud to say that after a strong growth of 20% in FY26, in Q1 FY27, our pathology business has grown even faster at 26%. This is a culmination of all our efforts and all investments in improving our service levels and quality. I'm proud to say today, our active franchise network has grown to over 11,700, a fourfold increase versus when we took over. Our laboratory network has expanded from 17 labs in FY21 to 44 labs today. If you drop a pin anywhere in India, you will find a thyrocare pathology lab within 150 kilometers, and samples don't travel to Mumbai anymore except for specialized tests. Our test menu has increased nearly fivefold to more than 1,375 tests. Alongside this expansion, we have strengthened our quality infrastructure with over 100 plus MD pathologists, all our own laboratories being NABL accredited, well above any competition. And it is important to see the 100% in light of the fact that only 2% of NABL labs in India, 2% of labs in India are NABL accredited. We continue investments in technology and automation to support the next phase of growth. Our home collection network stands at 2,000 phlebotomists, probably the largest phlebotomy network in India, with exceptional service levels, with an on-time phlebo arrival standing at 99%. We are now extending the thyrocare strategy into specialty diagnostics, the next phase of thyrocare's growth journey, from routine to remarkable, the next frontier of diagnostics. Specialty diagnostics remains underpenetrated with limited accessibility, premium pricing, and fragmented delivery. These are the same structural inefficiencies that thyrocare successfully addressed in preventive diagnostics. Our differentiated operating model, built on scale, automation, quality, and affordability, gives us a strong right to win in this market. This is not just a portfolio expansion. It is the deployment of a proven execution engine into a significantly large and fast-growing segment. We have commenced this journey with allergy and genomics. While our test portfolio will continue to expand, our focus is on building clinical trust through scientific rigor, consistent quality, and industry-leading turnaround times. We are confident that the same disciplined investments and execution that established ThyroCare's leadership in preventive diagnostics will create a durable competitive advantage in specialty diagnostics. Our ambition is to build one of India's most trusted, accessible, and scalable specialty diagnostics platforms, expanding our addressable market and creating the next long-term growth engine for the company. With that, I will now hand over the call to Rajdeep to take you through our business and commercial performance.
Thank you, Rahul, and good evening to everyone joining us today. I'll take a few minutes to walk you through how business performed during the year and the key drivers behind this performance. At an overall level, we delivered strong growth this year, with consolidated revenue delivering 24% YOY growth in Q1 FY27, primarily driven by our core pathology business. For the year, our flagship brand, Arogyam, continues to lead the preventive healthcare segment, growing at 21% year-on-year this quarter, complemented by Jaanch, which caters to curative and chronic health needs. Though just 2% of overall pathology revenue, It has also grown 36% year-on-year this quarter and is becoming a strong pillar of our lifestyle offerings. Let me now break this down across our key business segments. In Q1 FY27, franchisee business delivered 27% YOY growth. It has now been almost 3 years since we implemented the pay for performance structure, which has led to renewed energy within our franchisee network to move up volumes and enter higher slabs. Our franchisee base has reached its highest level ever at 11,700 active franchisees in Q1 FY27. Equally important, we continue to invest in strengthening our relationship with channel partners. During the quarter, we conducted 6 structured partner meets across India and Malaysia, providing a platform for open dialogue, feedback, and knowledge sharing. These engagements continue to play an important role in enhancing service levels, shaping future business initiatives, and strengthening partner relationships. As Rahul highlighted earlier, this quarter also marked the commercial go-live of our specialty diagnostics business, an important milestone in our long-term growth strategy. We believe specialty diagnostics has the potential to become a meaningful growth engine for ThyroCare by complementing our preventive diagnostics business and strengthening our omni-channel presence, enabling us to become a more comprehensive diagnostics partner while increasing wallet share within our existing network. To support this, we have established a dedicated specialty commercial team, which works closely with physicians, hospitals, and healthcare institutions through scientific discussions, one-to-one engagements, and lab visits, enabling clinicians to experience our quality system and operational capabilities firsthand while building awareness and confidence in our specialty offerings. At the same time, we continue to strengthen our medical leadership and invest in capability building across our commercial and operations team. Our objective is not simply to introduce new tests, but to drive sustained clinical adoption by combining affordability, scientific engagement, and our nationwide network. We believe we can make advanced diagnostics accessible to much larger potential population while building a scalable long-term specialty diagnostics business. Moving to our partnership business, this continues to be a strong growth engine for us. In Q1 FY27, partnership business grew at 26% YOY. This growth has been led by strong momentum in insurance and health tech segments. Along with continued scaling of existing accounts, our API-based integration are also enabling partners to expand diagnostics offerings across multiple cities seamlessly, which is strengthening our positioning as a preferred B2B partner. Thus, overall, focus has been on building depth across channels, improving partner productivity, and expanding the value we deliver to a wider test portfolio and strong service capabilities. With that, I will hand it over to Dr. Kinnar to walk you through operations and lab initiatives.
Thank you, Rajdeep. Good evening and a warm welcome to everyone joining us today. I'll focus on 3 areas today: our lab network expansion, operational capabilities and research, and how we are improving patient experience. Let me start with our first area of lab network. Our lab network now stands at 43 labs in India and 1 in Tanzania. This quarter, we expanded our geographic footprint further across India and opened 3 new labs, each at Muzaffarpur in Bihar, Kurnool in Andhra Pradesh, and Prayagraj in Uttar Pradesh. Now let us move to the second area, our operational capabilities and research. We further strengthened our specialty diagnostics portfolio with the addition of our FADIA-based allergy testing platform and over 20 specialized tests, including histopathology, HPLC, specialized coagulation tests, next generation sequencing, PCR like BioFire, whole exome sequencing, gut microbiome, etc. These launches, especially new genomic tests, build on the foundation we laid on non-invasive prenatal testing, that is NIPT. As we continue to expand our genomics portfolio in a phased manner, while genomics remain at an early stage in India, it represents a significant long-term opportunity, with the global market projected to exceed $100 billion by 2030. Our approach remains measured, introducing clinically relevant offerings, strengthening physician education and scientific engagement, and then scaling adoption over time. We also continue to translate real-world diagnostic data into actionable clinical insights through our fever study and Bharat Arogyam score. For instance, the analysis shows that the rise in non-communicable disease risks starts earlier than commonly perceived, particularly for heart health and diabetes. Both conditions show a sharp uptick in the 21 to 40 year age group, with heart risk doubling by the 30s and diabetes risk more than doubling by the 40s. Together, these patterns indicate that health risk builds gradually over time, highlighting the importance of early and regular preventive assessment. Now, coming to the third focus area of patient experience, which is something I care deeply about. Diagnostics is fundamentally a trust business. Every improvement we made this year was driven by a simple question. Does this make the patient and doctor feel more confident in us? To maintain credibility, we continually reinforce the four foundational pillars that underpin trust in medical diagnostics. First, accuracy and quality. This continues to be non-negotiable for us. Supported by our enabled accredited labs and ongoing equipment upgrades, where our 97% samples are processed at enabled accredited labs. Second, faster resolution. When things go wrong, we strengthened our complaint management channels, reducing resolution timelines and improve proactive communication with patients, and continued to achieve Six Sigma levels in complaint management, with the said metric standing at 3.1 complaints per million tests for Q1 FY27. Third, faster reports. We worked extensively on improving logistics and lab processes, bringing the turnaround time to 3.37 hours in the quarter. And fourth, strengthening trust with doctors, who are often the first point of contact for patients. We host clinician meets at our own laboratories, giving physicians a first-hand view of our quality systems, advanced equipment, and operational processes. We conducted 23 doctor meets during the quarter, with participation from approximately 100 doctors, helping strengthen awareness and confidence in ThyroKare's capability while fostering deeper clinical engagement. Thus, overall, our focus has been on building an operations backbone that can support scale without compromising on quality or experience. With that, I'll now hand it over to Vikram for the financial performance.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Before we get into the quarterly results, I would like to build on what Rahul highlighted on the operational and financial transformation in the last 5 years since API Holdings' acquisition of ThyroKare. Our strategic priorities, expanding reach, strengthening reliability, and enhancing quality, have been executed consistently, and the results of that are reflected in our performance. Brief snapshot of our long-term results are: we are growing 20% plus consecutively for the last 8 quarters and surpassing the industry growth. Key KPIs across the business have consistently strengthened, like franchisee network base, partnership-led business, volume growth, lab infrastructure, and a test menu expansion. We are moving from routine diagnostic to specialized areas such as genomics and allergy testing. On profitability, excluding COVID years, the EBITDA margin have expanded from 23% in FY23 to 32%. Return on capital employed have also improved from around 15% in FY23 to 34% in FY26. Importantly, we have achieved all this by continuing to invest in the business, with rupees 250 crore plus of capex investments and required opex investment to execute all the initiatives which we want to ensure strengthen reach, reliability, and quality. Now, coming to the quarterly results, I am pleased to report a very strong start to FY27. Building on the growth momentum of last year, we delivered standalone revenue growth of 26.1% and consolidated growth of 24.3% in the first quarter. Our pathology business continued to perform well across all segments, with both the franchisee and partnership business delivering growth of over 25%. Our international Tanzania business also recorded strong traction, reporting a 2-fold increase in revenue over the corresponding quarter last year. In radiology also, we achieved significant sequential revenue growth of 8% over the previous quarter, indicating a gradual recovery in the business momentum. On a year-on-year basis, Goa revenue declined by 4%, primarily due to the consolidation of centers. However, the business has delivered improved profitability, which is reflected in the quarterly results. Starting Q1 FY27, we have started presenting a total view of our radiology business, which includes the performance of Nuclear Healthcare Limited and Pulse Hi-Tech Limited. Now, Pulse is the significant scale, and we feel that we should give a complete view of the radiology segments. This view will provide a more complete representation of our radiology operations. I would like to clarify that Pulse Hi-Tech was already being getting consolidated in our financial statements. Therefore, this has no impact on the consolidated financial results. Now, let me take you to the key financial highlights for the current quarter. Starting with revenue, our standalone revenue came in at rupees 225.6 crore, which is up 26.1% year-on-year, driven by strong growth across franchisee and pharmacy business. On a consolidated business, revenue stood at 240 crores, reflecting a robust 24.3% year-on-year growth. Moving to margins and profitability, our gross margins at 74.1%, reflecting an improvement of more than 290 basis points over year. This was largely driven from better negotiations, strong 28% growth in test volume, and the improved operational efficiency. Employee and other overheads cost increased year-on-year, primarily due to annual inflation, higher volumes, and investment in new growth areas like specialty and the field expansion. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter was 32.2%, with EBITDA growing 34% year-on-year. Profit after tax stood at Rs. 51.3 crore, with a PAT margin of 21.4%. This also represents a 34% year-on-year growth. Earnings per share for the quarter was at Rs. 3.23 compared to Rs. 2.41 crore in the prior period. Again, an increase of 34% over the last quarter. Overall, our steady performance reflects disciplined execution and focus on profitable growth. We remain committed to delivering consistent financial performance while continuing to invest in strategic initiatives that will support our long-term growth agenda. With that, I will now hand over to Rahul for the strategic updates. Thank you.
Thank you, Vikram. Briefly, I would like to take a few minutes to recap to you our strategic direction, and then I will open it up for Q&A. First, I will reiterate our value proposition to the customer. We will continue to remain an affordable option to all patients with good quality and on-time reports. All our effort on our value proposition is towards ensuring low cost to the patient, assurance on quality of testing through our certifications and engagement with doctors. We have made substantial progress on this, which we have updated in the initial comments and is reflected in the presentation. This will remain at our core and will continue to guide all that we do. Second, our strategy. We continue to maintain our strategy of being the B2B partner of choice to all front-end diagnostic services companies in India, whether it's a small diagnostic center in a semi-urban area, a pharmacy in a metro, a small nursing home, an individual doctor, or a leading online diagnostics platform or health tech marketplace. We are happy to work with them to provide low-cost, robust testing solutions so that they can serve their patients in the most effective manner. If they require phlebotomy, we are happy to mobilize a phlebotomy network of over 2,100 phlebotomists, including our network partners, to serve them better. This strategy has been working well for us, with both our franchise and partnerships business posting strong growth. As a natural extension of the strategy and in line with our vision to make quality diagnostics affordable and accessible, we are expanding our specialty segment by deploying an on-ground technical sales team to drive deeper doctor-led engagement, thus also marking a strong entry into the curative segment, where we are extending the same quality standards that we have already established in preventive diagnostics while maintaining affordable pricing for patients further strengthening our position as a comprehensive partner to our network. That, in a brief, is our mandate as management. Thank you so much for giving us a patient hearing. I will once again end with a quote from the Mahatma. Find purpose, the means will follow, and our purpose remains to provide affordable, high-quality testing to the masses. With that, we will open up for Q&A.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Yash with Unifi Capital Private Limited.
Go ahead, Yash.
Yash, you may please proceed ahead with the question. As there's no response from Yash, we'll move forward to the next participant. Our next question comes from the line of Aditya Chheda with InGrid Asset Management. Please go ahead. Ajit, can you hear us? Ajit, can you hear us?
I hope there's no issue with the line.
Check if the other.
No, sir. We can hear. There's a problem with the participant. Okay, we'll move forward to the next participant. Our next question comes from the line of Abdul Qadir Puranwala with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
To start with, first on your the specialty foray. So in the next 3 to 4 years, how significant could your genomics and allergy testing portfolio could be? I mean, any guidance on that front would be very helpful.
Sure. See, as I said, we've just started on the specialty front. So it's difficult to give specific guidance so early in the process, but to just give you an indication, our rough estimate is for most of our peer set, specialty forms between 15 to 20% of their portfolio. I think our ambition would be to reach the same levels in the 3 to 5 year time frame.
And so to roll this out across your the current lab network, what is the kind of investments you are planning to incur in the next couple of years?
Actually, most of the investments have been already done. Unlike routine testing, where you need to deploy the capex across all labs, on the specialty front, actually you can have a more centralized model. So most of the investments are going into our Mumbai lab or our Delhi lab, which are our central processing labs. That capex is already done. I mean, now it will be mostly expansion capex if the volumes increase far beyond what we thought. But I don't anticipate a significant amount of capex going into this business at least next year.
Understood. And sir, your thoughts on the divestment of the imaging business? Any timeline you're working with there? And how should we look at this business?
I just took approval as you know. Just to give all people on the call the background of this, right? The nuclear business has not been growing, and we also have not been investing in the nuclear business. We've been fairly conservative, looking at the return on capital profile of that business versus our pathology business. So we haven't been investing. So therefore, we felt, you know, let us see if there is a partner who is ready to invest into the nuclear business and grow it and give us better dividends than, you know, how it is right now. I anticipate the process will take 6 months, right? But we don't have any definitive, what do you call, buyer at this point in time. So it's difficult to comment, but I anticipate it will be at least 6 months after.
Okay, understood, sir. And sir, just you know, couple of questions on your results. So when I look at your pathology revenue split versus the you know the volumes or the vial split, while you know there has been a significant increase in the franchisee in terms of the value side, but for the partnership business, you know the volume growth I could see is higher than the value growth. So anything to read there?
Yeah, see, it's a bit of a, you shouldn't look at the B2C business or the what we call partnerships business at a vial level, right? If you look at it, our tests per patient, right, is what is increasing, right? And so, and as you know, as we add more tests in a, per patient, the vial still remains the same, right? So sure. To that extent, you will see some price erosion because we discount, you know, the incremental tests to encourage patients to, you know, do a more comprehensive panel versus the few initial tests that they thought about. So that's the effect you see when you look at it at a vial level. But at a test level, it's more or less in line.
Understood, sir. So, and last one, if I may, what would be the ESOP charge in the P&L for the quarter?
I'll ask Vikram to take that question.
Yeah, so ESOP charge, it would be around 3.5 crore in the P&L quarter. And now, why we have stopped reporting is because now what we figured, this has stabilized now. And for any estimate, you can take it as a last 4 quarter average, which is that this 3.5 crore rupees would be a P&L charge in the quarter.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address all the questions from the participant, we request you to kindly limit your question to 2 questions only per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may please rejoin the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Shubham Harne with the Purnanta Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for good set of number. My first question is, what is the logic behind making change in definition of test conducted?
So, Shubham, I'm not able to hear you properly. Changing definition of?
Test conducted.
Oh, the test number. So I'll explain this. See, what used to happen earlier is in the test volumes, some of the calculated parameters were also put into the test numbers, which are normally not billed to the patient. It's a small variation, but we felt it would be more prudent to remove those because those don't get billed, and we have only put the, you know, the tests that actually require processing on the machine and billing. The reason we have done that also is over the last 6 months, we've introduced a number of calculated parameters, and so therefore, you know, that volume will increase. And so to give everyone a fair picture, we just decided to remove the calculated parameters and restate the numbers. We've given in the disclosure all the quarterly numbers. There's hardly any variation, so, you know, but we just felt it's important to restate it so that everyone gets a clear picture.
Got it. And second one was on in this quarter, we have added 900 franchisee, while our yearly target is around 1,500 franchisee. So will we revise this yearly target now?
So I will let Rajdeep answer that. Go ahead.
I think, yeah. So I think this is, you can call it out, and which we always mention when we discuss about growth, is that this, the franchisee business, the way it grows, it, what you seed in today is gonna give you results in future. So if you look at this number increasing, is something which has been seeded in as a strategy last year, if you talk about even last, second half of last year, when we increased the team size when it comes to the field sales team. So this growth, what you are seeing, is actually blend of both the stores which we open, on a higher side, the numbers are usually the branded stores which we have started opening. So I think if you look at the numbers, I think the question you asked about the revision of the number, you can consider it. But to be very candid with you, this is also one of the impact of what additional sales team has been built up, and geographical increase is what it is showing as a contribution in the numbers for this quarter. So this will stay stagnant for the next financial year. The 1,500 number which has been taken was kept in mind with the yearly growth what we do as a business. So to answer your question specifically, the revised number may go as per the way we have performed in this quarter. So you can consider 500-700 as an average addition every quarter.
With the exception
so revised
of
number might
where it is normally we have found between Q2 and Q3, it's difficult to expand the base. But yeah, Rajdeep is right. I think you can take this for the remaining quarter.
Yes.
So new revised number yearly would be around 2,000 franchisee. Is that correct?
No, no. 700 plus 500 plus 500.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Almost.
Got it. And last one on, we
I'm
have.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir, but you may please rejoin the queue for more questions. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Chintan Sheth with Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the great state of Mumbai. Some bit on, you know, the franchisee growth this quarter, right? We have been guiding till last quarter that we'll be growing at mid to high teen kind of, you know, number that our expectation for FY 2027. And because the base for FY 2024 addition was slower, so that was the precursor to our guidance that we'll be growing franchisee growth for the current year to be at a 15 to mid to high teen number. But this quarter, we delivered a very strong set of numbers, both in volume. If you look at volume, grew almost 20%, 22%, and then we also saw some pricing growth for the current quarter for the franchisee. If you can just highlight, you know, what went well this quarter versus what we were expecting, and how should we think through for the remaining part of the year?
Got it. So look, it's too early for me to revise guidance. You know, if you look at Q1 FY 2026, we did roughly 180 crores. Q2 2026, we did 200 crores, right? So, you know, we are sitting on a very high base of last year. So particularly when it comes to Q2. So I think it's too early for me to revise guidance. I will still hold to the mid to high teens guidance at this point in time. But on your second question on, you know, what we thought and what worked better than expected, I'll hand over to Rajdeep to talk about.
Yeah, I think two strategies, and this is the, if I brief you about the franchisee network, which was one of the previous question which was asked, as a strategy is working out for us. And in particular, with the addition of things like what we have added in recent past is the brand ambassador, as Madhuri Dixit, is helping us out.
Right.
In actually bringing in more and more franchisees, and also the field team enablement which we have done in last financial. So if you are looking at then what Rahul is also mentioning, see these numbers which may be looking very fancy like 900 as of now, will grow with the same speed earlier the franchisee business was growing. So in the starting of the business, they may not look so high in the Q2 what is there in the Q1. That is why we are saying that an estimate of a mid to high team will help you to actually do the right forecast for the next quarter. That is the reason for this number what we
got
are saying.
Got it. And you revised the, as explained in the previous comment, that we have revised our test number a little bit lower versus what we have reported in the past. And that has resulted into a kind of revision in test per patient number for us. If we use the older data, we have kind of sequentially seen a drop in test per patient, but this is not like-to-like now, right? We have to use the updated patient data. But if one has to look at, buyers per franchisee, that remain at around 500. That is the given the maturity. Do you see this number further upping in the subsequent quarter or the full year?
On the first question, I'll ask Vikram to address the question. On the second question, I wasn't able to fully follow the question. Would you mind? Sure.
So my question was that the test per patient, because we have restated the number of test numbers versus what we have historically reported. But if I look at the vial per franchisee, right, that will be the key metrics I typically follow. That has kind of at around 500 or 510 odd number. But given that, FY24, we didn't add much of the franchisee. Lot of it was got added in FY25, and that maturity level will start hitting in FY27, where one can expect this number to start improving further. That was our expectation, that vials per franchisee will start moving upwards of 525-530 or so. Do you think that?
Got it. Test number is like to like. And all numbers in the footnote are like to like. So you can do the calculations on that front. On the vial per franchisee, see, what you are observing is two effects. One is, of course, as we continue to add to the base, while the older franchisees mature, the newer base comes in at a lower level. So you kind of then stay at the same level, right? So it's a mix of older franchisees maturing, but newer franchisees entering at a lower base. And the other is our expansion is now going deeper and deeper into India, right? So we are now in tier 3, tier 4 markets, right? Where you can't expect the same 500 samples a month in those markets. So you're seeing these two effects play out in the sample per franchise.
So my alternatively, what I was looking at, given that we are adding more number of tests, specialty into the picture, right? One can expect with widening of our test menu, this number should start to kind of reflect in some improvement. That was the background.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, I got what happened.
Yeah. That is the hope. We continue to be very focused on driving the mix towards higher value tests. And that impact you should start to see.
And the blended ASP for the current quarter, which has seen improvement, we expect this to play out in the coming quarters.
No. See, specialty is a very small base right now, right? So if I look at it, we have done almost 55 million tests or 5.5 crore tests, right? The specialty will be a not even a 1% of that, right? So I think it will be some time before it reaches a scale where you will start to see the effect in the revenue per test.
No, I was looking at franchisee.
Thank you, Chintan. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you may please rejoin the queue for more questions. Thank you. Reminder to all the participants, kindly restrict your question to two questions only per participant. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sanyam Jain with Veloth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. So my question is a bit comprehensive one. I want to ask that Farmeasy Epay Holdings and Arogya as a group, as we know that 100% promoter holding is pledged and the dividend payout, and also recently Epay also sold 10% stake in Thyrocare to repay the debt. So is there any plans of, you know, we hear news that there could be IPO of Epay Holdings or there could be reverse merger with Thyrocare. Like, what is the group plan to actually unpledge the shares and revive the company, the parent company? Like, what could be the effect on Thyrocare on that? I want to understand the strategy and focus about that. Thank you.
Yeah. See, right now, the news that floated that EPI is going for IPO is unfounded. That is mostly speculation. At this point in time, there are no plans on that. As the second, Sanyam, we have been at EPI Group reducing the debt quite substantially. We were at 1700 crore debt last year. We are now 1800 crore debt last year. We are now down to 1050. And selling non-strategic assets, seeing what all options are there to monetize to bring down the debt, right? I think API will consider an IPO when it is profitable ex Thyrocare as well as debt free, right? That is the time when any corporate action will be considered. I think we are at least 12 months away from both those milestones. So I think right now the API team is just focused on improving the business, getting all businesses to break even and become profitable ex Thyrocare. And that is the focus. And once that is achieved is when all discussions on IPO and other actions will be under consideration.
And could there be any guidance about dividend of Thyrocare for this coming year?
No, we never give dividend guidance. So I think we will take it as it comes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Yogesh with Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the specialty front. Given that our legacy business model has been of preventive care, now that we are moving into the specialty segment, which is primarily a prescription-driven business, so what kind of efforts are we making to get the prescriptions from the doctors, to get the doctor coverage, and what kind of target have we set for ourselves to have a coverage of certain amount of super specialist and specialist doctors?
Yeah, I think I will let Rajdeep take this question. And Rajdeep has come from that background and really setting up the entire infrastructure and team and all of that for that. So he's best placed to answer this question.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Yogesh. So I think predominantly pathology as an industry has been conventionally driven via doctors, and it is 90% prescription business usually when it comes to PATH as a business. Definitely preventive is growing much faster, way faster than the kind of prescription business, but the fact remains fact. So I think it's not something which we have to reinvent the way it exists in the industry by building up a specialized team who is scientifically enabled. Them getting into the field first is doing the same kind of, I would say, calls or working they were doing earlier for bringing the franchisees. Now they are bringing the doctors on board, talking to the doctors, giving them scientific understanding about the products which we have, for which we have enabled a proper structure of the team. The other thing, the other way around of doing the same thing is again communicating to our existing network of franchisees, which we are quite capable of doing by just uploading communications on our software with which they do test booking. So there are multiple such kind of initiatives which are not very difficult for us as an organization at this scale. And definitely in the end, we being for a longer time in the industry, and in the end, the report finally goes in the hands of doctor. Now, it's not very difficult for us to go back to them and say, sir, now we are also doing these tests, even for us or for the partners to go and do this. So we are driving it from the both ends, the conventional way of going back to the doctors and also pushing it via our franchisee network. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, sir. Just to understand, I mean, what any target that we have set for ourselves with regards to doctor coverage?
I think it will be very early, and this segment is at a very nascent stage. We have just started few of the cities out of the overall country. However, we have activated rest of the network for it, but we have not actually set up a target. You can call out, and I always communicate in the previous call also, I mentioned it is a 0 year for specialty. So considering any numbers basis of what we are doing as of now will be very difficult for me to give you.
Okay, sir. Understood.
Thank
Second question. Again,
thank you.
On this
sir, you have asked already two or three questions. You may please rejoin the queue.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Yash with Unifi Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Oh, so just wanted to ask, last quarter we had an update regarding change in our MOA regarding our intention to enter consumable space. So just wanted to have an update on that, what we have decided, whether it will be kind of backward integration or a Thyrocare branded consumables.
Yeah, it will be in the direction of Thyrocare branded consumables, not backward integration. But this is a matter of internal strategy. So I would request, please be patient. By September, you will see an announcement from us. And I'm sure you will be pleasantly pleased with what we are doing. But my request would be, please be patient.
Understood. And just one thing, regarding the franchisee addition which we spoke about, so it's basically 1700 additions during the current year, right? 700 plus 500 plus 500.
Yeah.
And going forward, it's 1500, the guidance is, or it's we are upgrading it to 1700, like for 2-3 years, medium term.
I think, as I said, it's just the first quarter, guys. So, you know, it's difficult to start getting into, you know, updated guidance and all of that. Let's see through the second quarter. After H1, I think I will have more specific guidance of where we think the year will go.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aditya Chheda with InGrid Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations to the management on a strong quarter, and in particular the board's intent to divest the radiology business. The segment had been dilutive to the consolidated return ratios, and stepping away from it does reflect a clear focus on ROC. So if you can, you know, quantify, if I'm correct, the PAT was roughly 5 crore and the investment that stands today was roughly 150 crore, if that is the correct understanding. So far on that,
I didn't hear your first thing. The investment is, I think, 140 crores.
Right.
What was your first point?
On the PAT that comes along with this business, the segment had been dilutive to consolidated return ratios, and stepping away from it does reflect a clear focus on ROC. That was the comment that I wanted to make.
Yeah. See, first quarter we did about 1.72 crore PAT. I think 6 crore PAT is what you can expect for the year. Not more than
that. Right. And on the franchisee addition, you know, where are the white spaces? Are we adding more density in existing markets, or it will be a pin code expansion as the strategy stands today?
I'll ask Rajdeep to take that.
It will be both. It will be a blend of also going into the market which are white spaces and also penetrating more deep into the existing ones. So strategically, it will be both. We'll keep on working the way. We are also adding on teams in the new territories and also adding in the existing ones.
Got it, sir. Those were my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Surya Narayan Patra with PhillipCapital. Please go ahead. Mr. Patra, you may please proceed ahead with the question. We are not able to hear you again. As there's no response, we'll move forward to the next participant. Our next question comes from the line of Chintan Seth with Greek Capital. Please go ahead.
Hope I'm audible and thank you for the follow-up. I was asking on the franchisee realization for the quarter, right? We have seen 7% growth this quarter. Past two quarters, it has been flat. So just wondering, is there any effect of specialty getting built into this number, given the contribution is still very low? But is there any? How should one read through it on the realization on the franchise revenue for why?
Your just to understand the question more clearly, you are saying the revenue per franchisee or the VIL per franchisee?
I'm asking revenue per VIL for the franchisee business.
Achha,
so
okay.
Realization per VIL, for on the franchisee side.
Okay, you're asking why has it gone up in this quarter, right?
Correct.
Yeah, it's not because of the genomics and allergy side, but you know, of course, if you look, if you go back 4 years ago, thyroid used to be 20% of our mix, right? Today, it's low single digits. Thyroid, of course, being the most affordable B2B rate that we have in our overall network. There has been substantial movement towards what I would say semi-specialized, not specialized, right? So instead of thyroid, more lipid profiles, more biochemistry parameters, more markers, dual marker, triple marker, quadruple marker, PCR based testing in HIV, HPV, all of these areas. So I would say a lot of the more advanced tests is what you're seeing in the realization figure in this year.
Got it. Because that number has been stagnant around 240. This quarter it marked cross 250. So that was the question. I think that's all from that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the time constraint, we request you to kindly ask only one question per participant. Our next question comes from the line of Lokesh Manik with Valium Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good evening, Rahul and team. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, great. So Rahul, at the start, it was mentioned that Aarogyam has grown 21% YOY. Our pathology revenue has grown 27-28%. So what has led the revenue other than Aarogyam? Would it be semi-speciality or more of routine, would you say, from a product perspective or category perspective?
So I'll take that question. You're right. Aarogyam versus non-Aarogyam. Aarogyam has grown slower than non-Aarogyam. And that is actually linked to the question that I just took, which was, Aarogyam as a realization, because there are so many tests and all of that, typically tends to be dilutive to the revenue per vial that we get from franchisees. Over the last couple of quarters, our focus has been to encourage our franchisee network to also send standalone tests, semi-specialized tests, and newer tests, which are all not part of the Aarogyam bouquet, right? The second part is, typically quarter one is not a good quarter for Arogya, right? A lot of the preventive testing happens in quarter four, right? And that's because many people have their corporate benefits and all of that expiring in March at the end of the financial year. But that being said, it's a conscious call to, you know, want to drive the single tests and more semi-specialized tests. And that's what you're seeing in the growth rates. And also the effect of that you're seeing in the realization.
So we've seen growth in routine tests also?
Yes, yes. It's across the board.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Yogesh with Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you once again for the opportunity, sir. With regards to the specialty segment, one thing which I would like to understand, I mean, given that your thesis is of segment being underpenetrated, premium pricing and limited access, I mean, our aim or rationale of entering this segment is whether to gain the volume similar to our playbook that we did in pathology, preventive care, or whether it is to gain, have an access into high margin specialty segment?
No. So, look, our mission is to make diagnostic testing affordable, right? And that is our guiding principle. So we will definitely get into this segment with the aim to make it affordable, right? Just to give you an example, in NIPT, which is non-invasive prenatal testing, we came in at a price that is actually less than half of the existing prices of players in that market. So we want to make it affordable and capture the volumes. It is not about, you know, getting into the same pricing as what exists, because we really want to make it affordable. That being said, if the volumes come through, the margins are comparable.
Understood. I appreciate your answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Yash with Unifi Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to know about the field additions which you have made for the franchisee segment, because I think our CEO just spoke about additions during the past quarter which led to an increase of 900 franchisees during the current quarter. So just wanted to have a brief about that.
So just to recap your question, you are asking the strength of the field team that is focused on franchisee addition.
Team, and what is the change? Basically, he said that in last quarter we have increased our field force. So just wanted to know the delta, what we have increased, from what it was actually and what we have increased.
Yeah, I think this conceptually, this thing of adding more and more franchisee on ground has been there, but we have started pushing it more. So the team size, if you ask about, is around 70 pan India. The people who walk around, meet with franchisees, meet with the existing lab guys and convert it into. So this is the team size. Any other question you have? I just missed the second question you asked. Is this what you're asking?
I was asking basically, you said that last quarter we added extra field force. So just I wanted to know the delta.
Yeah, so last year this number would have been 35-40.
Yeah.
So I think over the course of the year, we have doubled the field team.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mohammed Patel with Edelweiss Public Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes.
So if the specialty share goes to 15-20% in the medium term, does it impact the overall EBITDA margin?
No. It will actually be more or less in line with our current EBITDA margin. So I don't see them being diluted unless we fail completely on the strategy and we don't get volume.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Surya Narayan Patra with Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for this opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. See, congratulations for the great set of numbers. One thing that I just observed that, okay, there is a 24% kind of growth that we have reported on the company, for the company as a whole. And the franchisee growth itself, 23%. So going ahead, should not we think that we should surpass the growth of the franchisee addition growth itself?
I was not able to fully follow the question. Our franchise business grew at 27%, while at a consolidated level we grew at 24% and pathology grew at 26%.
Correct. Possibly I was linking the franchisee growth addition, which is the franchisee number count, YY it is 23%, and the revenue growth for the company as a whole is 24%. So that is why I was telling that it is just moving in line with the volume growth what we are franchisees witnessing. So should not we think relatively better growth for the company as a whole, while we have been giving a guidance that we should be somewhere like near 20% kind of a growth for the business overall?
See, it's a very complicated answer. You know, you can't just look at franchisee growth and say franchisees have grown at 20%, so the company should grow at 20%, because, you know, there are existing franchisees who mature and there are new franchisees that come in on a very low base, right? So actually, if you look at it, if you add 20% franchisees, in the year that they get added, they hardly add 5% of the overall, you know, to the revenue. And then they mature to 20% only by the third year, right? So you have to see all these effects to be able to do that. And that is why I have been conservative in the guidance.
Okay. My point was that only, sir. See, like in the last of 4-5 years since the time of the management change, the growth in the franchisee addition CAGR itself more than 20%, while revenue growth been sub 20% or at near to 20% level. So I think you know, once the franchisees will mature, the overall growth possibly will surpass the addition growth itself, and that will bring in incremental operating leverage and hence margin improvement. So whether my thought process is off the track really?
Yeah, that thought process is fine, provided one, all franchisees stay with us and we don't see any franchisee churn, right? And yeah, so then yes, that thesis is there.
Okay. And you mentioned in the...
Sorry to interrupt you, but you may please rejoin the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Naman Bagresha with IFL Capital Service Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just one quick clarification. I'm still confused on the franchisee additions for the full year FY27. Is my understanding correct that we are going to add 1,700 franchisees from 2Q FY27 to 4Q FY27, or this 1,700?
No, no. 700 in Q1, 500 in Q2, 0 in Q3, 500 in Q4.
You've already added 900 in Q1, so that's...
Yeah, but there will be some churn in the by the time we reach the end of the year. So if it doesn't happen, great. Then I will have done better than the guidance. But at this point, you should take that not all 900 may stay with us by the end of the year.
Okay. So that would be a net number. 700 would be a net number. Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Gula for closing comments. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you everyone for joining us and spending the time with us this evening. As always, we continue to remain focused on our strategy, which is to be the most affordable, good quality diagnostic testing partner for anyone in the healthcare business, and we continue to execute on that strategy. We have been investing in improving our quality, improving our reach, and ensuring turnaround time is as close to best in class. And we've made substantial progress on all of this, and that is what is driving the results that you see. I thank you all for your support in this journey, and I wish you all a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Thyrocare Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.